Good morning, and welcome to the April 6th, 2024 edition of Charlottesville Community Engagement here on WTJU. I'm Sean Tubbs of Town Crier Productions, a company that seeks to increase awareness of what's happening at meetings of local government in the greater Charlottesville area. What you're about to hear are a series of stories that have appeared in the newsletter and podcast this past little while. You can find many of these stories in print at infoseville.com. Here's what's in today's edition. Members of the public speak on Charlottesville's next draft budget, which was originally built on three tax rate increases. Council approves about $1.3 million in funds from the current budget for affordable housing projects. Council also reallocates another $90,000 in federal funds to the Beacon Commercial Kitchen. On Monday, Council's newest member called for a steep increase in the personal property tax to discourage automobile usage. And this is the placeholder for whatever needs to go in this slot. In today's first public service announcement, the University of Virginia Facilities Management Apprenticeship Program will host its annual Apprenticeship Job Fair on Wednesday, April 10th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at UVA's Alumni Hall in Charlottesville. The event promotes careers in the skilled trades, including UVA's program that offers paid on-the-job training and technical education in the trades of carpentry, masonry, HVAC, plumbing, and electrical, as well as other local employers hiring apprentices or entry-level positions. No trades experience is needed. Please visit apprenticeship.fm.virginia.edu for details about the job fair and the apprenticeship program. Today's edition has a heavy emphasis on Charlottesville's draft budget for fiscal year 25. For background, I refer you to the newsletter where there are links to several stories written so far. And with those stories as background, let's jump right into the three public hearings for three tax rate increases that are before council. City Manager Sam Sanders introduced the budget on March 18th.
Per city charter, I, as the city manager, am responsible for bringing forward a balanced budget. In order to pull forward that balanced budget this year, I met with council in advance because, of course, the priorities that we have identified, the funds were not available to make sure that all of them could be achieved.
Council held a work session on the budget on February 1st, and council signaled a willingness to increase tax rates above and beyond what a 4.07% average increase in property assessments yielded in extra revenue. Sanders delivered.
It's a series of tax increases, and tonight the public will have its opportunity to speak to council.
Sanders' budget recommends an increase in the transient lodging tax rate from 8% to 9%, an increase in the meals tax rate from 6.5% to 7.5%, an increase in the real property tax rate from 96 cents per $100 of assessed value to 98 cents. The public advertisement allows council to approve up to 99 cents per $100 of assessed value, should they choose to. The three public hearings came after a public comment period in which speaker after speaker gave a passionate plea for council to adopt a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Israel and Palestine. Many were still in chambers waiting for council to take up that matter, and some had their children with them.
So I'm going to briefly just touch on each one of the proposed tax increases, and then we are required to have an individual public hearing since there are three different tax rates that are being adjusted.
Then the city manager explained that there are three council priorities that are requiring him to increase the tax rates.
The first being the integration of collective bargaining, that is allowing all of our various employees to be able to pursue collective bargaining. With FY25, we will recognize three unions in police, fire, and transit.
The other priority is modernizing the city's payment structure for city employees. And the third is additional support for Charlottesville City Schools above and beyond the existing formula that governs the local taxes that they receive.
There was a $12 million request made by the schools. When I prepared the budget, I included a $6 million allocation for schools. in the conversation with council and reaching the conclusion that we would advertise an increased tax rate, that number was increased to $7 million.
When the public hearing was opened up for the real property tax rate, former planning commissioner and former school board member John Santosky said while council has the ability to raise taxes to fund their priorities, many in the community are baffled by increased tax rates when assessments have led to surpluses each year.
You know, we're paying for a Buford renovation. We're paying for affordable housing. We're now going to be paying for what could be quite expensive unionization. I grew up in the Northeast, trust me. Public service unions have put many of a city in the state of Pennsylvania into bankruptcy over the years. Not saying that's not a good thing, but you city councilors won't be here when that starts to happen 10 or 15 years down the road, so be very, very careful.
Another speaker urged council to raise the taxes to provide more revenue for services, but also to pay teachers more money. Here is Dr. Emily Yen.
Many of them can't live in the city, and so the moral and just and as well as practical ways to pay them enough, which obviously will cost money. And one of the key ways that in order to make this a reality is by raising real estate taxes, which compared to most places or many places in the country are relatively low.
Another speaker, Jeffrey Fogle, said he has long advocated for substantial increases in the real property tax rate, but also called for more people to become eligible for relief.
But we live in a very, very rich community. And the shame is that property taxes cannot be made progressive the way income taxes are, so that people in relative stratas of our society pay their fair share.
They were the only three speakers for the public hearing on the real estate tax rate increase. No one spoke at the public hearing for the lodging tax increase. There were two speakers who took the opportunity to make a comment on the meals tax rate increase. One of them was Roy Van Dorn. He said the increase would cut into the ability of restaurants to make a profit.
According to the National Restaurant Association, the average independent table service restaurant has a net profit to the entrepreneur of between 3 and 5%. Yet the city now proposes to tax the revenue of every restaurant customer at a rate of 7.5%. That means the city, in most cases, will derive more revenue from the operations of restaurants than most of the independent table service restaurants.
Van Dorn said restaurants are already contending with higher rent, higher labor costs, and higher food costs. He said three meals tax rate increases in 4 years makes it hard to keep independent businesses afloat.
It seems to me that the city has forgotten that restaurants suffered more damage than any other business group from COVID.
The other speaker about their meals tax was Russ Kronberg, who manages restaurants and hotels for the University of Virginia Foundation. He urged council to do more to promote tourism to increase the volume of sales rather than the percentage the city gains from taxes. More on the budget later in this edition. In 2007, the city of Charlottesville created the Charlottesville Affordable Housing Fund to provide a steady trickle of funding to support a variety of programs related to the cost of subsidizing places for people to live. In 2024, that trickle has become a reliable source, with council morally committed to providing at least $10 million in funds every year for affordable housing. On March 18th, council held the first of two readings for allocations from two pots of money. One is the Charlottesville Affordable Housing Fund, or CAF, and another is the Housing Operations and Program Support Program. Here's Antoine Williams, the city's housing manager.
The CAF received and was budgeted for $835,000, whereas the HOPS was received $585,000.
The CAF received six applications, and the following programs were recommended for funding after a screening process. The Albemarle Housing Improvement Program was recommended to receive $117,196 for their Charlottesville Critical Rehabilitation Program. Community Services Housing was recommended to receive $74,054 for rehabilitation repairs to their existing properties. Habitat for Humanity was recommended to receive $393,750 for a home ownership program known as Habitat Core 2024. The Piedmont Housing Alliance was slated to receive $250,000 toward development of their project at 501 Cherry Avenue. There were 17 applications for the HOPS program, and the following were recommended for approval. $35,000 for the Blue Ridge Area Coalition for the Homeless for their System of Care Coordination Program. $28,000 for the same organization for their Homeless Information Line Program. Just over $55,000 was for Community Service Housing's Community Services Housing Program. $65,250 is for Habitat for Humanity of Greater Charlottesville's Homeownership Program. $70,000 is for Pacham's Case Management Program. $148,000 is for Piedmont Housing Alliance's Charlottesville Affordable Housing Program. $95,716 is for the Haven's Vital Housing Services Program. And $88,000 is for the Haven's Day Shelter Program. Councilors noted the absence of funding for the Charlottesville Redevelopment and Housing Authority. CRHA had asked for $550,000 for a home ownership program from the CAF and $150,000 for resident services from the HOPS program. City Councilor Michael Payne is a voting member of the CRHA Board of Commissioners, who felt the CRHA should perhaps automatically receive funding from the city.
The city has made massive investments in the Housing Authority for capital projects. Mm-hmm. We haven't matched that with investment on staff. We know no matter what, every single year, this is an organization that's going to manage hundreds of units. We appoint their entire board. I feel like we've just got to figure out something to ensure that they're having enough investment in their staff to take on all these new capital projects and new work.
Council approved the programs on second reading at their meeting on April 1st. The City of Charlottesville's approach to the use of federal funds from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is shifting, with Council agreeing twice in the past 2 months to reprogram money from public infrastructure to private infrastructure. In February, Council reallocated $215,000 in Community Development Block Grant funds to the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank to pay for new refrigeration equipment and other capital expenses. About three-quarters of the funding, or $156,247.20, had been slated for sidewalk improvements in the Ridge Street neighborhood. This time around, the New Hill Development Corporation received nearly $90,000 to help pay for larger public utility connections for their Beacon Commercial Kitchen that's under construction in the Belmont neighborhood. This time around, the money comes from funding that was set aside in the last CDBG cycle for public infrastructure, but was never used, according to Anthony Warren of the Office of Community Solutions.
We began to scan the community, try to find projects that were related to community benefit activities that were related to public facilities and infrastructure as defined by HUD.
Warren said New Hill Development Corporation did not anticipate the additional expenses incurred after the city reviewed the final site plan for the commercial kitchen. Council previously awarded $500,000 to the project from the city's share of American Rescue Plan Act funds. But recently, the nonprofit group learned they had designed the project with insufficient capacity to handle the amount of water they'll use and wastewater they'll generate.
Those increases drove up the price. This money will help to bridge the gap between the money that is currently available to facilitate this project and the money that is needed. It will directly go to installing the increased water, sewer, and electrical lines that connect municipal utilities.
Mayor Juan Diego Wade said he was glad to support the project.
I think that this is going to be just incredible opportunities for many, kind of the incubator for many businesses. So I'm really excited about this, and I'm glad we could see these funds proposed for this project.
Yolanda Harrell is the chief executive officer of the New Hill Development Corporation. She said that many localities often waive the connection fees for affordable housing.
That does not occur with affordable economic development. Mm. And so those tap fees, we do incur that cost. There was obviously water and sewer and gas already running. But what was not known at that time was the volume of what our load was going to put. And so the infrastructure.
Harrell said the total additional cost overrun is about $250,000 above the project's original budget. No one spoke at the public hearing. Before the vote, City Manager Sam Sanders said the City of Charlottesville does not waive connection fees. Gary O'Connell, the director of the Albemarle County Service Authority, also said in an email that all new development pays to connect to the Albemarle system. You're listening to Charlottesville Community Engagement, and it's time for the second public service announcement. Little Bluestem cultivates a resilient and harmonious future for Central Virginia's land and inhabitants through collaborative projects, community education, and local genotype native plant propagation. You can help support Little Bluestem by attending Riverside Jamboree to enjoy an evening of great tunes, fine food and drink, and good company by the river. Concert by Holy River and Diane Cluck, and a silent auction with goods from local artisans. This benefit takes place on Saturday, April 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Rivanna River Company at 1520 East High Street in Charlottesville. For more information and tickets, visit littlebluestem.net and click on Events. Earlier this week, Charlottesville budget staff were sent scrambling to recalculate revenue projections for the $251 million budget for fiscal year 25, after City Council reached consensus on Monday to direct them to research an increase in the personal property tax. Here's the question, as phrased by City Manager Sam Sanders.
What amount of a property tax increase would replace 0.5% increase on the meals tax?
Council will now consider the adoption of its budget on April 15th and not at a special meeting on April 9th. That will allow time for a legally mandated advertisement of a fourth tax rate increase proposed this year. There was a final work session on April 4th, and I'll get to that segment by the end of the program. What you're about to hear is from April 1st. Raising the personal property tax had not been suggested by council at any of their budget work sessions to date, and was only floated publicly before what had been billed as the final opportunity for the public to weigh in on the $251.25 million financial plan on Monday night. The budget that was taken to public hearing was built on a 2-cent increase on the property tax rate, as well as an increase of 1% on both the lodging tax and the meals tax. Before the public hearing was opened, City Councilor Michael Payne raised a question.
I'm not saying we will or won't do this, but a conversation topic that has come up is the personal property tax rate. What, if any, deadlines exist for that?
Chrissy Hamill, the city's budget director, said no change had been advertised for that rate, which is $4.20 per $100 of assessed value. Most other communities around Charlottesville lowered the personal property tax rate when used vehicles soared in valuation in the wake of the pandemic. If council wanted to go higher, they would need to let the public know by taking out a classified ad for a public hearing in the print version of Charlottesville Daily Progress, which had a 2023 circulation of 10,326. The Progress is no longer published daily, which makes the timing of that advertisement more complicated, as there is no longer a Sunday edition. Hamill said it would be tight to make that change given the position in the budget cycle.
That would require a 7-day advertisement and a public hearing on that as well. And the city charter requires that we have the budget adopted by April 15th.
There was no information on the agenda about this being discussed. The idea comes from City Councilor Natalie Oshrin.
I was proposing a flat personal property tax increase to replace the meals tax and potentially some of the real estate tax revenue. I've got some math to show for that.
Oshryn said she had not yet had the chance to share that information with Mayor Juan Diego Wade or Vice Mayor Brian Pinkston. She said there is room to grow revenue from that tax, and the city should tax different kinds of personal property at different rates. Before the public hearing, Wade said he was not interested for this year.
I just know this late in the game, I may consider it at least personally for next year as we have a little bit more time to digest it.
Wade said he was concerned that raising the personal property tax rate would affect more people than the meals tax. However, he said if two other councillors agreed, the idea could move forward. Here is Councillor Lloyd Snook.
I would at least like to hear what it is.
Oshryn had prepared a statement to read.
It's not too late for me to follow through on my campaign platform goals and ideas. The voters supported me for my housing, transit, and urbanism ideas, so there's a desire to deprioritize cars and reprioritize people and shelter. Those are my priorities.
After winning a slot as one of three Democratic nominees for city council in the June primary, Oshryn took office in January after an uncontested election in November. She originally proposed keeping the real estate tax rate and meals tax unchanged and making up the difference through the personal property tax and increasing parking fees.
Lower personal property taxes are a hidden subsidy for cars, and we need to stop doing that.
Oshryn said an increase in the rate from $4.20 per $100 of value to $6 per $100 would be enough to raise revenue for council's spending priorities. However, she acknowledged her math was based on a lot of assumptions, and the Commissioner of Revenue would need to provide more data. Pinkston said he wanted to see more information from staff.
It seems like a straightforward enough idea that I feel kind of dumb that I didn't think about it 2 years ago.
For some background, every additional penny on the real estate tax rate brings in $1.1 million in revenue. Every 1% increase in the meals tax rate would bring in $3 million. Calculating the difference for the personal property tax is more complicated due to ongoing shifts in the car market. Commissioner of Revenue Todd Divers had more information on Thursday. Councillor Payne said he would like to see scenarios, but was concerned that the personal property tax is more regressive than the real estate tax.
I'm initially a little skeptical just because poor people and working people still drive cars and we don't have the bus system that we want.
No councillors identified spending that could be reduced. Council's budget supports higher pay and benefits due to collective bargaining, a reclassification of the city's pay structure, and a need to make up funding lost by the school system due to a recalculation of a state funding formula. During the discussion, consensus grew that any increase in the personal property tax rate would go to reduce the meals tax rate by 0.5%, and that 4 of the city's tax rates could increase. Pinkston asked Oshryn if she could wait on an increase in the personal property tax rate until the next budget cycle.
Well, next year we're going to have an even higher budget.
Pinkston said he was concerned about the confusion this would bring to staff. Oshryn said she just wanted to see the information. Sanders said he hoped to get the information to council as soon as possible, or at least by their meeting at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Payne and Snook said they would entertain the idea. Mayor Wade was the lone vote in opposition.
4 taxes is worse than 3 taxes. So, I'm outvoted, but I'm not, it sounds like we have enough support to pursue it.
Oshryn said taxes are part of the social contract, and they are how governments fund what voters want.
If you're going to get taxed out of something, I'd rather someone gets taxed out of their car than their house.
Okay. Any other comments right now?
Not that I want either of those things to happen, just to clarify.
Council's discussion took place before the final public hearing on the 3 tax rates. One of the speakers was Don Gathers, a one-time council candidate and frequent speaker in council chambers. He said his household's personal property tax bills have skyrocketed in recent years, and that low-income residents are going to continue to have a tough time.
And I don't understand the mindset or the necessity to feel like we have to tax anyone out of anything. Eventually and essentially what's going to happen is you're going to tax your residents right out of the city.
At least 2 other speakers called for tax increases to support more spending. However, Philip Hamilton, who twice ran for the General Assembly as a Republican, called for reductions. Finally today, City Council took one more look at the budget for fiscal year 2025 at a work session on Thursday. After hearing council feedback, City Manager Sam Sanders made several changes to allocations made to outside agencies through the Vibrant Communities Fund competitive process. For instance, the Buck Squad had requested $480,000 for gun violence prevention programs and were recommended for $456,000. That has been revised to $200,000. Another nonprofit that offers similar programs is the Uhuru Foundation, which had requested $100,000 but were not recommended for any of that money. They will now receive $94,600. The Charlottesville Redevelopment Housing Authority had requested $137,000 in funding for resident services programs. This was not recommended for funding, but the full amount will now be given after council's input. And Lighthouse Studios requested $36,000, but were only recommended to receive $21,600. They will now receive their full request. Both councilors Natalie Oshrin and Michael Payne wanted $12,000 in funding for the Fralin Museum of Art at the University of Virginia to be removed. City Councilor Lloyd Snook said he did not want to state that Charlottesville should never fund UVA programs, but he could support this particular removal.
Their selling point was going to be that they were going to be able to do some programs that they're doing and offer free admission to Charlottesville school students or something like that. And I just note that part of the argument that they always give to us about why they're not going to give us any pilot program payments in lieu of taxes is all the free things they do for the local community.
Vice Mayor Brian Pinkston said he would support the removal of the $12,000, but hoped that the dialogue about UVA-Charlottesville relations would become proactive rather than being at loggerheads.
It does feel a little petty to be taking out $12,000 for something that's a valuable program. On the other hand, maybe it's what we need to do to sort of make clear that we want some things to change.
The $12,000 will now go to a pool of unallocated funding. There were also changes to revenue assumptions that yielded an additional $1,344,240, including $800,000 in additional fees for business and professional licenses. That, coupled with a few expenditure changes, brought the total budget for the fiscal year 25 to a total of $253,051,091. The biggest discussion at the meeting was on the potential increase in the personal property tax rate. An advertisement will be in Saturday's edition of the 3 times a week Daily Progress that will include a personal property tax increase of $4.80 per $100 of assessed value, a 60-cent increase over the current amount. That would generate about $1.8 million in additional revenue, according to Budget Director Chrissy Hamill. Council will hold their second reading on the budget on April 15th, and there will be more information about this in future editions of Charlottesville Community Engagement and on infoseville.com. I think we're at the end of the program, so I'd like to just thank everybody for listening, and do check out the website if you can. If you have any questions, try to find me. I'll try to answer your questions. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day, and that Rock Marathon's coming up. Make sure you're ready to make your pledge. I know I will. I'm Sean Tubbs. Thanks for listening.